Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The first years of a child's life are critical to his or her future. This morning, we're going to talk about what parents and caregivers can do to make sure young children are ready to start school and succeed. Joining me are Director of Extension Services for the Children's Home of Cincinnati, Patty Craig, 4C for Children, Early Childhood School and Community Facilitator, Lisa Garofalo, and Cincinnati Early Learning Center's Vice President of Programs, Tracy Rowe. We'd like to hear your questions and your comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Certainly glad to have everybody here today. I'd like to start out just talking very generally about learning and kids. And I know we all know it starts early. How early are they? I mean, there's always some learning, but how important is it to really start with actual education?
Well, we know from multiple recent brain studies that early experiences and interactions are critical in building the foundation for later success in school. This research has shown that 90% of a child's brain develops by age 5. In fact, between birth and age 3, which is where a huge growth period occurs in the development of brain cells or neurons, they're a huge activity creating connections that form that root brain structure, which becomes the foundation for future functioning. Those neural connections are established and practiced during the early years and provide the basis for language, reasoning, problem solving, social skills, behavior, and emotional health, which are all equally important when we talk about readiness for school.
So there's a whole lot of learning then going on very, very early.
Absolutely.
So when you bring that baby home from the hospital, you better be reading books and already talking about this is your finger and this is your toe. Is that right? I mean, what should you do?
Yeah, I think that certainly young children pick up from the moment of conception, really, but there is a lot that they need in terms of relationships. And so often we think about learning in terms of academics and naming body parts and numbers and letters and colors. But really what we've learned through this brain research is the impact of relationships and the social emotional competencies that are required for young children to learn and grow and be successful in school and successful in their world.
Give me some examples of what you mean.
You're at the grocery store with your child, and a lot of parents focus on the colors of things and the letters on the cans and the academics. And really what we see in grocery stores are sort of children falling apart because they don't know how to wait. They don't necessarily have the development to learn how to wait and not get what they want. And so there's a lot of real focus that needs to happen on helping children with self-regulation. And that's an area of social-emotional competence that requires a lot of experiences and a lot of supports. And so that's where parents often think about disciplining a child. And we really know now the importance is to support them in giving them strategies and skills to learn how to cope in those kinds of experiences.
Well, everybody goes to the store. And I had a child who, when she was really young, it was her favorite place to go. And then when she could get out of the cart and run around, we had interesting times at the grocery store. So let's talk about that. What should you do when you're in the grocery store and you want to help your children get ready? What do you go and give them a little talk before you go, saying we're going to be here for this many minutes, and we're, you know, what do you do?
Well, I think that preparation piece is huge. Anytime that you can prepare a child in advance for what the expectations are for where you're going to go or where you're going to be and what you're going to do. Grocery stores are tough places because there's a lot of stimulation and there's a lot of things that children want. Just, you know, that looks good. Let's have that. Let's try that. That box is neat. Let's have that. And I think part of it is being prepared as a parent to know what choices you can give the child when you get there. So here's some things you can choose from. You can choose this box of cereal or this box of cereal. And really empowering the child to know what they can do in the grocery store versus focusing so much on what they can't do. And then, you know, being prepared sometimes as a parent that you might have to leave because it doesn't go well. And, you know, we might have to grocery shop later or try again another time. I think there's a lot of things to think about, but mostly it's that preparation piece. And it's that way for going to the doctor's office. It's that way for going to the church. It's that way for going to school. A lot of conversations and discussions around what children can do and what the expectations are.
What if they're 6 months old? Can they understand all of that at that age?
No. At 6 months old, children are most interested in their relationship with their primary person, whether it's their mom or their dad, or if it's a grandparent or someone else who is helping to care for the child. That children at those very young ages really need responsive caregiving from a familiar and important adult in their lives, and really to feel loved and nurtured, to build a trusting relationship, to know that their needs are going to be met regularly. Those are the most important things for those really young children. And then opportunities to explore and learn and grow.
But when they're two, then you can have those talks with them and say, okay, we're going to the store. This is what we're doing. You may pick out one thing. The rest mom or dad gets to pick from the shelves or whatever, and try to prepare them for that. What if you're in the store, though, and you're not the one with a child, but you see a mom or a dad in one of those experiences where the child is just losing it? Should you? I mean, I've sometimes tried to distract the child, or sometimes I run away because I don't want to hear. I mean, what should you do if you're observing that? What can others do to help out in that situation? Or is it better just to leave them alone?
Yeah, I think that we all have seen and felt sort of stress and anxiety in those kinds of experiences as observers, as well as the parents who've been involved in the incidents. And so I think attending to how it must feel for children, for parents, it's a big overwhelming feeling. It's an embarrassing feeling. Many parents, all parents, want their children to do well. And so when people see that they're not doing well at that moment, really the ways that we can support each other and just acknowledge stress and try to reduce that. And, you know, sometimes I'll say to parents, you know, I've been there. You know, it is a tough feeling. And you know, sometimes you do have to leave the grocery store. That's the hard part for very busy, especially working mothers, fathers, caregivers. You know, sometimes children are letting us know through their behavior that they need something very, very different than what we're trying to do right now.
And despite the fact that they need food.
Right. And so attending to that, which for some can seem accommodating, but really discipline and supporting feelings and all go together. And so it's not just about telling children to do well. It's about understanding their behavior to understand why it's difficult to do well. And so just really being supportive and having those conversations can be helpful.
I would add, too, that we can't separate social-emotional development from cognitive development. Thinking and feeling are linked. So children are learning in these opportunities about themselves and the world. We want them to walk away with as positive sense of the world as they can. So it's really important for the adults to have as many positive interactions, model the appropriate behavior, model what we'd like to see, give children some problem-solving skills. Because at the end of the day, if children are unhappy and upset, they can't attend to learning. And that's where we're going in terms of school readiness.
How do you have the happiest child? I mean, some kids are just happier than others. I mean, we've all seen some kids that no matter what you do, oh, goodness, you fell down and hurt your knee. I know, isn't it fun? I mean, you know, there are some kids that are just happy, and there's some, here's a candy bar, here's, you know, your favorite toy, and they'll give you that look like, why would I want that? You know, so, but beyond that whole personality issue, what can you do just to raise a happy child?
I think secure attachments are crucial in feeling happy and having life with a purpose. I mean, we really want children to be happy, but also have an intent in life for how they can do well and help others do well. And so those secure attachments we know in the early years with parents, primary caregivers, are really crucial in that development of the brain, but also in terms of their ability to socialize later. Young children really aren't wired to socialize. You know, toddlers play next to each other, but not necessarily together. Preschoolers, before they go into kindergarten, are learning cooperative play, but it requires a lot of negotiation skills. And some come with very strong personalities, and some are more shy. And so we have to support their initiative a bit in getting into the world and engaging in learning and playing and understanding how things work. So I think just looking at their socialization and relationships are that foundation that we need for them to go on and learn throughout their early years of school.
You know, a lot of our parents are in sometimes their lives are hectic and stressful. They work. You know, there's about 74% of our mothers with children under the age of five who are in the workforce. When you think about that, that's a really huge statistic. And so just the idea of working, taking care of children, maybe being in a relationship or not being in a relationship. Sometimes folks are out there doing it on their own. It's really important just to think about when it comes to the relationship between the parent and the child, just those important times when we can just be together. It doesn't, you know, we talk about the hurried child and overscheduling, and so many of our children, and, you know, frankly, my own, have so many things to do every day that there's very little downtime where you're just really having conversation or just being together, playing a game or looking at reading a book. And we can't emphasize that enough. Reading is one of those wonderful opportunities where children are curled up in the lap of a parent and it's a loving experience and you're reading a book together and enjoying it. And it's, you know, one of the foundations for kindergarten readiness in the next place when children get exposed to literature and have lots of opportunities to talk. Really having a rich vocabulary is an indicator of how children will do later in life in school. But coming back to the whole piece around relationships, just spending time with your children, having times where you're just relaxing and enjoying each other are such a critical part of all of these other things that we've talked about today already.
Just trying to have time to fit all that in is the,
yes,
the part
absolutely.
That I think so many people
absolutely.
Have.
Absolutely.
You know, we did invite people to offer up their comments and questions on our Facebook page, and we certainly encourage you to do that as well. If you'd like to do better, send us an email, impact@wvxu.org. But we got a lot in advance when I put this up this week, and I was intrigued by asking people what questions they had for all of you, and I got more comments than questions, frankly. Everybody has ideas of what worked in their family. Helen suggests give the child lots of love. It adds to their confidence. Discipline because it tells them you love them and care. Additionally, it instills self-respect. Through your interaction with your children, they learn more than you know, and the bond is tightened forever. And I think that's sort of what you're talking about. Another person, Beatrice, says, let them just be kids. Show them wrong and right way in life and say and do your best. Letting kids be kids, what does that mean? Because you know what? There's letting kids be kids, and maybe kids are nasty and mean sometimes. And at what point do you let kids be kids, but you also still have to give them those guidelines? How do you cross that line? How do you judge how far to go?
We now as a state have an early learning and school readiness domain for learning called Approaches to Learning. I'll let Lisa talk a little bit about that. But it's the idea that children come to us who they are in this world and have an approach to learning that might be different from other children in the family or certainly other children in a classroom. And so understanding how each child learns and observing and listening and being reflective about how they're interpreting their world is really, really important. And even our formal structure in the state for early learning and school readiness is attending to that and supporting teachers and educators in how to help young children learn.
I think we need to respect where children are developmentally. In terms of letting children be children, I think it's real important for us to recognize what being a toddler means. All of the skills and behaviors and expectations that are very appropriate for toddlers, we need to know what those are.
What are they?
I'm going to let you talk about toddlers.
Well, toddlers. Toddlers are in this difficult time in their lives because everything is sort of dichotomous. I want to be independent, but I need my favorite person near me. I want you, I don't want you. Let me do it myself. I can do it myself. I can't do it myself. Now I'm really angry and I fall down and I cry. Toddlers are very exploratory. They're interested in lots of different things. Their bodies are growing and changing rapidly. As Lisa already talked about, their brain cells are and then their neural connections are happening rapidly. And so they're very interested in playing near other children, but not with other children. So we call that parallel play. You'll see children playing next to each other, sometimes doing the same things. That's all very normal as part of toddler behavior. But a lot of emotions come out of the toddler years. And people, you know, oftentimes talk about the terrible twos. And I happen to be a very, I love toddlers. Toddlers are some of my favorite people. And so I don't necessarily see that as the terrible twos. It's just it's a difficult time. There's a lot
three
of emotion.
Three is worse than two.
We all concur that three is worse than two. But just a lot in terms of their developing emotions and their psyche and temperament is changing for them. And so, you know, they navigate the world based on the feeling that they're having at a very second, and then it changes at the next second. And so it's really the role of the parent to just sort of go with it, but also provide consistency. And I think that's something that we have to talk about is for so many of our families, when they say, let children be children, I don't disagree with that. But that's if they're within the structure of a loving family where there's consistent rules and expectations. The most important thing for young children is for them to know what to expect. We talked about preparation already. the more consistent you can be in your parenting style. We go to the bed at the same time. We have a routine for at night. We have a routine for the morning. We have a routine for how we go to school, a routine for how we go to the grocery store. Those are predictable things that help children feel okay about what they know they can do.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about preparing young children for life, for school, for all those sorts of things. And we're going to continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from Green Bean Delivery, an online home delivery service for organic produce and natural groceries, creating an avenue for local farmers and artisans. Green Bean Delivery strives to make healthy, local, and sustainably grown foods affordable, accessible, and convenient for all of Greater Cincinnati. For more information, visit greenbeandelivery.com. Support comes from the Reading and Comprehension Specialists at Langsford Learning in Blue Ash and Westchester. Dedicated to developing confident readers, Langsford's approach closes reading and comprehension gaps by strengthening brain processes at the point of difficulty. To learn more or to enroll in summer sessions, you can visit weteachreading.com. That's weteachreading.com.
Support comes from the business law firm of Thompson Hine. With more than 100 lawyers in the region and nearly 400 firm-wide, Thompson Hine is dedicated to providing superior client service. Information on Thompson Hine's practice areas, lawyers, and client service programs is available at thompsonhine.com.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking today about preparing children for school and life. My guest, Cincinnati Early Learning Center's Vice President of Programs, Tracy Rowe, 4C for Children, Early Childhood School and Community Facilitator, Lisa Garofalo, and Director of Extension Services for the Children's Home of Cincinnati, Patty Craig. If you have questions or comments, this is a great time to let us know what you'd like to have us ask, and you can send them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. You also can follow 91.7 WVXU on Twitter. Let's talk a little bit about daycare. I think you've got lots of kids who stay home with mom or dad or grandma or in their home environment. And then you also have lots of kids who go to daycare. The difference between the two and what people should look for in all of those environments as they're looking for childcare.
Childcare is, in Cincinnati, we have lots of great resources for helping families make decisions about childcare and learn more about what is best in terms of childcare. 4C for Children is a resource and referral agency that works with families to help them find local childcare programs and home care providers in their community, but then also give parents lots of resources about what is good in terms of quality childcare. And if I were to emphasize sort of some of the most important things when parents are looking for childcare, mostly it's things like, what are the ratios of staff to children? There should be the lowest possible ratios of the adults to children. In addition, you want to look for childcare programs that hire lead teachers who have degrees in early childhood education and really are child development specialists so that they can help to promote optimal learning for the children that are in the environment. You also want to look for programs, of course, you know, health and safety is very critical in terms of young children and looking for an environment that is set up and structured in a way that provides for optimal safety for children and takes into consideration good healthcare practices. In addition, I think that in the state of Ohio, we have a program called Step Up to Quality, which is a voluntary rating program for early childhood programs, childcare centers, and preschools. And Step Up to Quality has a true focus on what is the best practices in early childhood education. Centers can be 1-star, 2-star, or 3-star rated at maximum. I will give a little plug and say that that is going to change soon, that the rating system is going to go up to as many as 5 stars in the coming months, but those criteria haven't been completely finished at this time. But to look for programs, to use the 4C will help you find programs that are star rated in addition to home care providers who are rated as well. And there's also the National Association for the Education of Young Children has an accreditation system, which is also voluntary for programs. But programs that are nationally accredited also meet the highest standards for child development in programs.
Yeah. I just want to add, I think when looking for childcare and preschool, a lot of families focus on academic preparation and, you know, many focus on worksheets and memorization skills and things like that. And while Young children learn best in environments where they can learn and play and grow. Sometimes it's important for parents to understand that if children seem happy, that might be the number one place to be. If there's children playing and negotiating and socializing, and there's experiences that they can dig in and get dirty and really explore their world and their environment and have supportive caregivers and teachers to guide them along the way, they'll often be more ready to learn when they get to formal schooling than if they had memorized academics and never really had the opportunity to explore or negotiate their world. So really, it's a feeling when you walk into a program about, are you comfortable? Are the parents and the families supported? There's a lot of research around the foundations of working with families and not just the children in their care that can really impact the success for children.
And those are some of the questions that families can ask when they go into childcare programs. How do you partner with parents? What are your relationships with the parents in your programs? But you want to see things that you see in other places that you go. You want to see that adults are smiling, that children are happy. Now, you can walk into a difficult situation in a childcare center and see a toddler who's upset or a preschooler who's working through an issue. And you don't want to write the program off because someone's crying when you come. But you want to ask the director or whoever is giving the tour, how do you handle that? What do you do? And you want to listen really carefully to hear that there's problem-solving strategies that go on with young children. And, you know, how do they guide the behavior of young children? And that's, you know, some of those things are important to families as well.
Lisa?
I think, too, that parents, you know, are the ultimate decision makers. And not all parents want their children in group care. So there are parents in our community who are really doing a nice job of providing early experiences for their children that do support school readiness. We have wonderful resources in this community that parents can access. Our Sensei Museums, Children's Museum Center, has wonderful activities for children to have hands-on interactions that really provoke thinking and readiness. I would be the first one jumping up and down, and most people who know me would say this, I love the public library. In this county, it's fabulous. They have regular preschool story hours. They're very supportive of parents with young children, and they're free.
And so that's always good.
Yes, I think there are lots of things parents can do.
Patty, you mentioned that this is the Week of the Young Child. What does that mean? What's going on? Week of Young Children. What does
that mean? Yes, Week of the Young Child is an annual celebration sponsored by the National Association for the Education of Young Children. And the purpose is to focus public attention on the needs of young children and their families and to recognize the early child care programs and services that meet those needs. Locally, the Cincinnati Association for the Education of Young Children is celebrating that at the museum centers. There's discounted rates this Saturday for educators, families, and children. The Art Museum is having scholarships for professional training for learning through the arts and play. Mayor Mark Mallory has proclaimed the Week of the Young Child in our city. And accredited programs, as Tracy spoke about, who sort of hold the highest accountability for quality child care in our region, have all been recognized by the board, the Cincinnati Association of the Education of Young Children. So we're just excited to highlight children, their families, and those who care for them, and in our community provide supports and recognize the hard work that people do and parents and caregivers do to support the learning of young children.
One of the things we haven't gotten into at all when we talk about young children is that the role of electronics in a young child's life. I mean, it seems that, you know, when I was growing up, which we won't talk about how very long ago that was, I mean, just the fact that we had a television was a big deal. And, you know, my parents went on and on about, you know, they didn't have television when they were little and I probably shouldn't be watching television. Well, good heavens. Between electronic video games and computers and iPads and Kindles and iPhones and all of these sorts of things, what role should electronics play in very young children's lives?
This is a very interesting topic.
And I believe we probably all have our own opinions about that.
I'd love to hear them. Who wants to start?
Well, I would say that as an educator, I believe that technology is becoming more and more a part of our world. We can't ignore that it's here. I would also say that young children learn best with hands-on and
you don't mean hands-on a computer.
No, I don't. I would say birth to three I haven't found any study yet, there may be some out there, that would support the use of technology with that very young child. I would say, though, that at some, there are several studies that have looked at technology, the use of technology with children with particular special needs as another way of learning, another modality. So I'm not ready to rule out the inappropriateness of technology for young children, 3 to 5. I do believe that children are going to have access to it in school, and I do believe that there are skills that can be developed through the use of technology. That said,
I'll go next.
Okay.
Yes. And again, not disagreeing with Lisa, but just recognizing the idea that technology is there, and it's much like the alphabet. It's much like you know, children learning academics in a way. They have some experiences, but they're very quick to pick up. If we look at young children and their skill set with cell phones, for example, today, they're very quick to learn how they work. It doesn't take much experience to really be successful with that. It's much more difficult to negotiate relationships when you're 4. And so the focus in early childhood, we believe, should still remain around that human connection and those relationships. And while parents have lots of opportunities for children to be exposed to technology and use technology, that area can be picked up on very quickly. For young children who've never seen a computer, they do very well in kindergarten on a computer. And so I just hope that we continue to balance out that a human face and a smile and a relationship are as valuable, if not more, than learning the technology of the world that we're in today.
Absolutely.
And Tracy? I have to piggyback on what Patty and Lisa have both said, and I do agree. We are all on the same page in the sense that the most important thing for children is relationships, and that all of your learning comes from a place where if you feel good about yourself inside, then you can access the learning environment and materials that are available to you. Technology is present in many early childhood settings, but not in the same way that many people think of technology. We think of technology as iPads and electronic handheld games. In a lot of really quality early childhood programs, computers are available for teachers as resources that if a child has an idea or says, what's gigantic, that they can go to the web and say, all right, let's look at what gigantic is. Let's look up the word. Let's explore some pictures of what might be gigantic or what might not be gigantic. And also, we use listening centers with young children. There's lots of opportunities to bring technology into an environment that are appropriate. And when it comes to handheld games and television and those kinds of things, you know, I often say to people when they say, why don't you use television in your child care programs? We don't need to. Our environments are set up for children to be ready and to play all the time.
We're almost out of time. I had one question I didn't get to. Actually, I had a lot I didn't get to. Some of them I think we answered. This is from Davida, who said, what is the availability for quality rotating care arrangements for people who do not work conventional office jobs or part-time care for women seeking workforce reentry and needing time for interviews and things like that? And we only have about 50 seconds, so.
Well, I think that's that. She can contact 4C for Children. Parent Services would be happy to talk through options that are available in this community based on her individual needs.
And that telephone number is 513-221-0033.
And we have links to all of your organizations and phone numbers and all that on our website, wvxu.org. Just click on the Impact Cincinnati page. Thank you all for being here. It goes
thank
so
you for
quickly.
Having
we could have gone a whole
thank
other
you.
Half an hour.
Thank
and
you.
Thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. The guest today on the program were Director of Extension Services for the Children's Home of Cincinnati, Patty Craig, 4C for Children, Early Childhood, School and Community Facilitator, Lisa Garofalo, and Cincinnati Early Learning Center's Vice President of Programs, Tracy Rowe. Archives of our programs are available on our website, wvxu.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.